This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the wind-swept, rain-drenched, rolling hills of Hunterdon County. How is it where you are? Well, we hope the sunlight of God's Word will warm your heart, lift your spirit, challenge and encourage you this morning. At this point, we've got something like 70 lines being answered, and if you figure a couple of people per line, we're well into the over 100s, and we're so grateful that you've joined us this morning and become part of our Sunday morning call to worship family. So this morning we'll sing. Now, I went over my notes just before I got started here, and where I wrote we'll sing, I really wrote we'll sin. I left off the G. So I thought I'd correct that. Just doesn't seem appropriate for a Sunday morning. What do you think? We'll sing, we'll pray, there'll be some announcements, and I'll share a message with you this morning titled Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, in which I'd like to examine Jesus' cross literally, figuratively, and spiritually. And my prayer each week is that something will be said that will touch your heart and your life exactly where you need this morning. So grateful that Voice Broadcasting down in Texas is carrying this for us, and it's been a real privilege to be part of this overall national team. If you own, and if you're on your computer, we provided the words for the hymns, and it's just under your email name, so you can look it up if you're next to your computer. We've got sermon notes, which include all the scripture verses and the text. Every one of them is written out. So you just refer to your screen, and you don't have to turn pages this morning if you find it going a little too fast for you. We'll also have a hymn. We'll do some prayer requests this morning that we've gotten over the week. And some announcements. There's some interesting announcements coming up. So our hymn that's also listed on your computer this morning is A Shelter in the Time of Storm. The last hymn we're going to do is one called It Is Well with My Soul. And just before we sing it at the end, I want to share the story of how that hymn came about. It goes along with the sermon, and I think it will be a source of encouragement and an inspiration to folks. If you have prayer requests or anything else you'd like to share with us, you may call either Sherry or myself on our cell phones and just leave a message if we don't pick up, or we'll just talk if you do. Sherry's number, again, 908-581-8341. I'll repeat it. 908-581-8341. And my cell phone is 908-705-1208. I'll repeat it. 908-705-1208. When I was a kid, I used to listen to a wonderful broadcaster, a guy who would sit and talk for hours, and his name was Barry Farber. And when Barry Farber would send out a phone number or address, he'd repeat it three times. And someone once asked him, why do you repeat these numbers three times? And he said, because men don't listen. So I kind of got that in my head myself. So now we'll go to the sermon for the morning. And I thank you for being here with us, and I pray that you will be blessed this morning and be encouraged. So I'm going to take you back a little bit to what happened on the last hours of Jesus' time on earth. And I'm not going to stay there, but I just want to give you some context for the message that we're going to be going forward. So, facing the crowd, stands at the front of the crowds, awaiting convicted and soon to be crucified Jesus to pass by. This man is a nobody, a commoner, a worker of the fields, but the God of history is about to immortalize him. Our text for the morning to share that account is Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 15. Mark 15, beginning at verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas, unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together a whole band of men. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. What a mockery! Verse 20, And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. Get that picture. From the lofty courts of the mouth of the Roman governor to the lonely streets and lowly streets of Jerusalem, Jesus treads his way. Can you see him? What's that he's got on his back? It's one of those crosses they use to torture slaves and criminals to a horrible death. It can take as much as 9 days to die by crucifixion. The cross is heavy. He can't bear it. He falls. Someone is yanked out of the crowd. He's lifting the cross on his strong back. Jesus no longer carries the burden of the cross alone. This act of mercy, whatever the motivation, is immortalized in history on the pages of the Bible. Get this statistic. The different ones that are named in the Bible. God the Father is named 10,000 times in Scripture. Jesus, 1,400 times in the New Testament. King David, 1,118 times. Moses, 804 times. Peter the Apostle, 183. Paul, 180. In the account we just read, Simon the Cyrene is one of three times that he is mentioned in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell that same account. Quantity does not diminish the quality of his actions, nor the lessons to be gleaned. Simon's story brings us face to face with the cross of Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like to examine the meaning of the cross literally, figuratively, and spiritually, so we can get a better understanding of what it means to us personally. Many people wear a cross or a crucifix on their neck in a chain. And if you were to ask them what it means, some people really don't know what it means. It's a decoration. And some people say, well, that's where Jesus was crucified. And that's about it. But there's so much more to that. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. The cross, when we understand it literally, is the central theme of our faith. 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul writes, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." When applied figuratively, a cross is defined as a heavy object, a burden. A cross is defined in the dictionaries this way, an affliction that tries one's steadfastness and patience. Some different meanings of a cross. Jesus tells a young man in Mark 10:21, "Take up the cross and follow me." The cross of Christ was a burden, heavy load. A cynical observer of Simon's intervention would say the soldiers who enlisted Simon to take up Jesus' cross did not involve him to lift Jesus' burden, but their motivation was fear that Jesus would die carrying the cross, or that he wasn't moving fast enough. But for the Christian, the meaning is profound and it is beautiful. The Bible says for the believer, life's crosses, your burdens, are never borne alone. Let me repeat that. Whatever it is that you may be going through right now that is a burden for you, a burden that seems too heavy for you to carry, is never borne alone. In addition, God knows your time limit and your load limit. In other words, he knows how much you can handle and when you can handle it. When you've reached your limit and think you've come to the end of your strength, that's where God begins his work. You have a time limit and a load limit. Someone has said, and I believe it to be true because I've experienced it in my life, he never gives you more than you can handle, although it feels like it at the time. Now you think about that. What's the last time you felt that you were going through something that was so way over your pay grade? You could not handle it. You didn't think you would get through it. You thought it was going to crush you and kill you. Paul himself, the apostle, went through that. And he said, I've almost been crushed. I've almost been brought to my knees. I've almost been killed. But he didn't. I got through it. In his flesh, Jesus needed some breathing time. When the trials of life come cascading in on us, it can feel like the walls are closing in. It feels like there's no way out. You feel trapped. I wonder what the parents of school shootings have gone through. When parents see those kinds of stories on the news, they clutch their children a little closer out of abject fear. Sometimes when you go through those kinds of traumas, the most you're going to get is a ray of hope and a pinpoint of light. Sometimes when you're going through these difficult aspects of life, now I've been through a number of medical issues And I've always looked for just that one little pinpoint of life that I could keep my eyes on in Scripture, or I could keep my eyes on in prayer. I knew the Lord was with me. That little ray of hope. It gives you just a chance to catch your emotional breath. But Simon's carrying Jesus' cross doesn't change what's going to happen. Now think about that. Just because he took the burden for a short period of time wasn't going to change the issue. You will find in your life that God will either change the circumstance or he'll change you. There's really no other alternative. We can't be exempt from what life is going to throw out at us. But we can know some principles coming out of God's Word to help us go through those times. Not be exempt from those times, but to go through them. Jesus had a burden sharer in Simon, and so do you. Listen to these scriptures and grab hold of them. Jesus, the Old Testament says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never allow you to be so shaken and so destroyed. You have to hang on. Cast your burden on him. 1 Peter 5:7, one of my favorite verses, says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And there's more. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ's law is the law of love. Suffering as part of life and faithful living is not easy to bear. But we don't carry the load ourselves. Remember this, and I'll repeat it twice. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. I'll say that again. It's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. Think about this for a minute. You ever hear of things people call Gurkhas? Let me show you something. The Gurkhas are bearers who carry loads of supplies for those who climb Mount Everest. They are small people. But listen, they can carry loads equal to or greater than their own weight. The Gurkhas know the secret of how to carry a heavy load. Bible believers can tap into how to carry heavy emotional load. Let me read some scripture for you in Matthew chapter 11. And it's verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus is speaking. Come unto me, all ye. Y-E in the King James Bible, ye, is plural. All of you. Come unto me, all ye. In Brooklyn, we say yes, or yous. Down south, they say y'all. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. 10 things I want you to remember that I'd like to share with you. Number one. That scripture tells us Jesus wants to help lift your heavy load of care, fear, anxiety, stress, loneliness. Verses 29 refers to the teaching of Jesus, which is represented as being light in comparison with the burdensome teachings of the Pharisees. We also know that scripture encourages us to cast our cares upon Jesus, whatever the cause or circumstance. Secondly, the burdens of your life have come to you having first passed through his nail-scarred hands. He doesn't cause these burdens. He allows them to come into your life. He allows it in many ways for our benefit, things to be learned, ways in which we can see, I never thought I'd get through that, but God got me through it. There's a lesson to be learned through these difficult times. Sometimes they seem like they'll never end, but someday they will. Third, burdens come by God's appointment. In his time, when you can best and are best able to handle them. Fourth, when burdens come, you are in God's care. He is watching over you. He will give you those pinpoint moments of light. When I was suffering with diverticulitis, and my pain was so fierce and so hard, I would just pray to the Lord for just 1 minute, like an island, without pain. And you know, I got it. It wasn't exactly when I said amen at the end of that prayer. It may have been 20 minutes. It may have been a half hour. But when I got that 1 minute, when the churning pain in my side stopped, man, did that feel good. That was his care, his love for me. Number five, when burdens come, God's in control, and he's holding on to you. Are you broken? Well, God does repairs. Are you hurting? Well, God heals. Are you discouraged? He's promised to be your comforter, your encourager, and your peace. You don't quit. You don't give up. And you keep praying. I've said this many times to my own congregation. I don't know any verse in the Bible that says stop praying. So you keep praying for that thing which is a burden for you or for somebody that you know and love. Number six, some burdens come to us as a surprise. Simon was pressed into action, action he wasn't prepared for. Think about it. The cross already had Jesus' blood on it from the whippings. Simon was close enough to Jesus to hear his labored breath and look into his eyes. What a toll that must have taken on his psyche. Life is full of surprises. The unexpected, like what we're going through in our country right now. 2 months ago, there were very few people who even heard about it, although the president did put out some kind of an injunction to keep people from coming in from China. But, I mean, in December, around Christmas time, who thought about this? But within 6-8 weeks, whatever it is, our whole country's been turned upside down in our lives. Just going to ShopRite is a new experience. Wearing masks, having to push a cart, go on and on with the list of things. The unexpected, the unwanted. But God uses those moments to strengthen us. We can come out of the trials of life better, if not bitter. My brother runs a heat treat plant, taking metal and either making it harder or softer. It takes fire to make something harder. It takes life's fires to harden you and strengthen you and encourage you. Number eight, when God sends you a cross, take it up and follow him. You can't outrun that situation. You need time. In some cases, you need to reinvent yourself. When you've lost your job, when there are no more job openings as an executive, and now you have to do something different, you're going to have to reinvent yourself. If you're in business and business falls through right now, how many businesses are being affected? How many people are out of jobs? You have to reinvent yourself. You have to take another direction. When you're going through some of your emotional crises, you've got to look at yourself and say, am I handling this right? Do my actions and my activities and my thinking have to be redirected? He wants to do that. How we do, I don't even like this phrase, but I'm going to use it anyway, how we do church, we had to reinvent ourselves. We knew we couldn't meet anymore, so we had two choices, do nothing or do something. And then the Lord allowed somebody, I forget who it was at our circle meeting, who came up with the idea of trying to do something with the telephone. And then Sherry managed to work it all out. And you can tell that Sherry managed to work it all out because she's still doing it. See, when you volunteer for something in our church, it's a lifetime appointment. Number eight, remember, and I'll repeat this twice, dark times are but the shadow of God's wings. Dark times are but the shadows of God's wings. He's hovering over you like a cloud-filled day, but the sun is behind the clouds. It's just a matter of time before the sun shines again. This morning, think sunshine. Think sunshine. Number nine, some burdens are self-imposed. The three-letter word, L-E-T, let, is defined this way, to give opportunity to permit to enter. Listen to Jesus' words in John 14:27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What have you given opportunity to steal your joy, disturb your peace, crush your spirit, dissolve your love? What has caused you to fear and turn to panic? Number 10, what you allow in your life, you can disallow. What you allow in your life, you can disallow. What you've let in, you can let out. Psalm 23:7, listen. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you keep saying things are going to be bad, you stand a good chance of being a prophet. There is only one burden that of necessity had to be born alone. Christ bore the burden of sin upon himself on the cross alone. It wasn't his sin. It wasn't his shame. It was mine and it was yours. Someone wrote, only one act of pure love, unsullied by any taint of ulterior motive, has ever been performed in history of the world, namely the self-giving of God in Christ on the cross for undeserving sinners. And the commentary pastor, Matthew Henry, wrote these words, quote, come and see the victories on the cross. Christ's wounds are thy healings, his agonies thy repose, his conflicts thy conquest, his groans thy song, his pain thine ease, his shame thy glory, his death thy life, his suffering thy salvation. Again, going back to the person who wears the chain with the cross on it, and you ask them, what does it mean? And they say, well, that's where Jesus died. But I have a deeper question. What transpired on the cross? What actually happened? Yes, we know Jesus suffered and died. But what took place? Romans 5:11 says, we received atonement because of the cross. Atonement means we became one with God, no longer separated by our sin nature. One with God. John 10:11, Jesus became our substitute. On the cross, he died in our place. He was and is the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus Christ died for the sins of a sin-tainted world. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 tells us we were redeemed. Jesus paid the price it cost to wash away my sin, my shame, my guilt, my past. He shed his blood. He brought me back. He's made me a new person. And you too. Romans 5:10. Jesus reconciled us to God. No longer outsiders, sinners, or God's adversary. We are his friends and his children. Calvary is the place where heaven and earth met. Calvary is the place where sin and Satan were defeated. Calvary is the place where a man did his very worst and God gave his very best. Calvary is the place where eternal life is marked for those who receive what Christ did there. Calvary is the place where eternal separation from God in a fiery real place called hell is marked for those who reject his sacrifice on that cross. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Will you let Christ do for you what Simon the Cyrene did for him and much more? Will you let Jesus lift your burden of care and your burden of sin? The choice is yours. Three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, and in between the Son of God. How wide the gulf, how wide. Yet one thief spanned it with the words, O Lord, remember me. The other scoffed and turned aside to lost eternity. Forsaken is the hilltop now, and all the crosses gone. But believing hearts, the center cross lives on. And still, as when these sentinels first met earth's wandering view, the presence of the Lord divides. Upon which side are you? Do you know Jesus, your sin bearer, who died, was buried, and rose again as Lord and Savior? This may be a time for you to confess your sin to him, ask his forgiveness, ask him to come into your heart, your life, repent, move on to know life where burdens are lifted by the Christ of Calvary. So we're going to sing that hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And then I'm going to tell you, but first I'm going to tell you the story of how that song came to be. When the Great Chicago Fire consumed the Windy City in 1871, Horatio G. Spafford, an attorney heavily invested in real estate, lost a fortune. About that time, his only son, age 4, succumbed to scarlet fever. Horatio drowned his grief in work, pouring himself into rebuilding the city and assisting the 100,000 who had been left homeless. In November of 1873, he decided to take his wife and daughters to Europe. Horatio was close to D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and he wanted to visit their evangelistic meetings in England, then enjoy a vacation. When an urgent matter detained Horatio in New York, he decided to send his wife, Anna, and their four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie on ahead. As he saw them settled into a cabin aboard a luxurious French liner, Ville de Havre, an unease filled his mind, and he moved them to a room closer to the bow of the ship. Then he said goodbye, promising to join them soon. During the small hours of November 2, 1873, as the Ville de Havre glided over smooth seas, the passengers were jolted from their bunks. The ship had collided with an iron sailing vessel, and water poured in like Niagara. The Ville de Havre tilted dangerously. Screams, prayers, and oaths merged in the nightmare of unmeasured terror. Passengers clung to posts, tumbled through darkness, and were swept away by powerful currents of icy ocean. Loved ones fell from each other's grasps and disappeared into foaming blackness. Within 2 hours, the mighty ship vanished beneath the waters. The 226 fatalities included Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie. Mrs. Spafford was found nearly unconscious, clinging to a piece of wreckage. When the 47 survivors landed in Cardiff, Wales, she cabled her husband, quote, saved alone, end quote. Horatio immediately booked passage to join his wife, en route on a cold December night. The captain called him aside and said, quote, I believe we are now passing over the place where the Ville de Havre went down. Spafford went into his cabin but found it hard to sleep. He said to himself, it is well, the will of God be done. He later wrote the famous hymn based on those words, it is well with my soul. So if you know it, sing along. If you have the words in front of you, that would be great. I'm going to close in prayer in a minute. Look forward to seeing you next week for Bible study, if you can, for study of Psalm 23, 7 o'clock Wednesday, and for our Sunday morning call to worship, 10:15 next Sunday, and the sermon will be entitled Faith versus Fear. But I want you to answer this question through the week. What is the strongest piece of evidence available to us today that tells us America is fear-filled? What's the strongest piece of evidence that shows America is fear-filled? I'll speak to that next week. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that someone, somewhere, has heard something and helped them today. Pray your blessing upon all of us as we live through a time of challenge, knowing that you can enable us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next time.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.